Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. It was 3 weeks ago that we last studied the life of David. Last week, we were observing the last great day, and 2 weeks ago, the start of the Feast of Tabernacles. We look forward to this incredible time of happiness and peace, realizing we live today in a world that knows good only as good relates to evil and is blinded to the love of God. When we study David, we see a man who was anointed by God to be king of Israel and Judah. We see a man who was very human, who sinned and schemed to take life. We see a man who was penalized by God and given a consequence of a family that would have its share of problems and division. And yet, we know David was a man after God's own heart, whose descendants included Jesus Christ. Paul spoke of this when preaching in the synagogue in Antioch. Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Returning to the story of David, we most recently read about Absalom's rebellion against David, and how Absalom forced David from Jerusalem, where Absalom was now living. David and his entourage were fleeing in the wilderness, and it was as David was ascending the hilltop that Ziba, a servant of Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, met up with David bringing donkeys, 200 loaves of bread, 100 bunches of raisins, summer fruit, and wine. Because Ziba brought summer fruit, we know that Absalom's rebellion occurred at some point during the summer, probably closer to the time when the summer fruit would be ripe. Because unlike today, where summer fruit can be bought at any time of year if you're willing to pay the price, back in David's time, we have no record that they were able to store fruit using techniques that we would use today. Ziba's kindness took David by surprise. He probably thought with Absalom consolidating power in Jerusalem that people would align themselves with him. And Ziba explained the donkeys and food were given to help David and his household during this time of difficulty. Even though Absalom rebelled against David, David wanted to know how Absalom was doing, and Ziba shared with David that Absalom was proclaiming that Israel would make him king over them. 2 Samuel 16, beginning with verse 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him, with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, And where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, Behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. David continued his journey northeast of Jerusalem and came to the town of Bahurim. It was at Bahurim that David was challenged by Shimei of the house of Saul, who cursed David nonstop, who also threw stones at David. He loudly proclaimed that David was an evil man who had blood on his hands. He told David that God was exacting revenge on him for the bloodshed that had come to the house of Saul. Verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Abishai asked David why he was tolerating this man's attacks. And David told him that by not responding, perhaps God might find favor with David, and God's favor might help him endure the attacks of Absalom. Verse 9. Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. David was practicing a concept that Paul would preach about thousands of years later, to bless those who persecute you, to bless and curse not, to repay no man for evil, to not avenge yourself, to overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Absalom took possession of Jerusalem, and one of the wisest men in Israel, Ahithophel, was with him, along with Hushai, who was still David's friend. Hushai proclaimed his loyalty to Absalom, 2 Samuel 16, verse 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass, when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, as I have served in the father's presence, so will I be in thy presence. Absalom sought advice from Ahithophel, who was so wise, people generally considered his advice to be as good as if it came directly from the mouth of God. Both David and Absalom thought highly of Ahithophel. Ahithophel told Absalom to consolidate his power so that all the people would easily see Absalom was the new king by taking David's concubines to attend on the rooftop for all to see. Verse 20. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he has left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Ahithophel then asked to be given 12,000 men to fight David, explaining they would have the advantage over David because David and his men would be tired from the constant moving around while on the run. He shared he would only kill David and safely return all others traveling with David. Ahithophel's plan made sense to Absalom and his leaders. 2 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he was weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Absalom also wanted to hear what Hushai recommended, and Hushai recommended against following through with Ahithophel's plan explaining that David had a long history of overcoming military adversity and being victorious. Verse 5. Then said Absalom, "Call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith." And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, "Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou." And Hushai said unto Absalom, "The counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For," said Hushai, "thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit, or in some other place, and it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, 'There is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom.' And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men." Hushai advised that instead of fighting David by proxy through Ahithophel, that Absalom himself lead the army to go fight David, because this would rally the people of Israel around Absalom. In considering the two options presented to him, Absalom thought Hushai gave better advice. Verse 11. "Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is set by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river, until there be not one small stone found there." And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom." Hushai, David's friend, sent word to David through the priests that Absalom was coming for him and that David should move. The priests wanted to ensure they did not end up on the losing side of the fight and went through great efforts to conceal their intent to tell David of Absalom's plans. Verse 15. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priests, "Thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, 'Lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him.' Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by Enrogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Their best laid plans were discovered by a boy who told Absalom what he saw. In a story that might make people think of the French resistance during World War II, the messengers took the opportunity to hide themselves at the bottom of a well, which was covered by a woman with ground corn, so that Absalom's men would not find the messengers. Verse 18. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in the court, whither they went down. And the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman to the house, they said, "Where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" And the woman said unto them, "They be gone over the brook of water." And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. The story of the messengers being hidden from Absalom's troops reminds me of a passage from Romans. We can take comfort, as Paul taught, that even in the most challenging of times and circumstances, all things work together for good to them who love God through obedience to the laws of God and are called according to his purpose. It is when we are called and love God that God is for us. And if God is for us, nobody can stand against us. And we can take great confidence that God will not allow anything to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. After Absalom's soldiers departed, the messengers came out of the well and told David to move quickly because of the advice given by Ahithophel. Even though Hushai told Absalom to personally lead the fight against David, Hushai probably knew it would take Absalom longer to prepare for battle than if Ahithophel would have fought a proxy battle. Ahithophel also knew this and killed himself, probably realizing the delay would lead to David's victory, realizing Ahithophel's treachery. 2 Samuel 17, verse 1. And it came to pass, after they were departed, that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said unto David, "Arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you." Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan. By the morning light there lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and gat him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died, and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. While on the run, David came to Mahanaim, where he was treated kindly by the people and given beds to sleep in and food to eat. Nearby, Absalom and Israel were preparing to fight David. Verse 24. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithra, an Israelite, that went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Zariah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Makar the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogalim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. David took this opportunity to prepare his men for battle, and the people wanted to be removed from David, knowing that David was more valuable to Absalom than thousands of people. David asked the military leaders to be kind to Absalom. 2 Samuel 18, beginning with verse 1. And David numbered the people that were with him, and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, Thou shalt not go forth. For if we flee away, they will not care for us, neither if half of us die will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succor us out of the city. And the king said unto them, What seemeth you best I will do. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. The battle took place in a forest of Ephraim, and that day 20,000 people died, a huge loss of life. The battle was widely fought over a huge piece of land. And that day, the forest killed more people than the fighting. The forest likely had low tree branches and rocky and hilly terrain with rivers and streams in between. People probably died by riding into low tree branches, falling down steep hills, or drowning in streams that were deeper and faster than the people thought. Some might have been challenged by the terrain and died of heart attacks. And for some, it could have been either too hot or too cold. Too many people died in this battle. Verse 6. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David, and there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. David, because of his sins, was given a hard life with conflict and strife in his house. He faced trial after trial, and in all of this remained a man after God's heart. God tried David just as he will try each of us. And when we are tried by challenging circumstances, like in the case of David, what challenges us will be the result of our actions that God allows to continue in its natural course of action. We can take comfort that God will not tempt us with evil. And when we are faced with evil, we must recognize that the evil is not of God. Let's read what James says about this in James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. When we are challenged, we can feel insignificant in relationship to the challenge. Just like Joshua felt insignificant when he realized he would be the leader of Israel after the death of Moses. God comforted Joshua, telling him to be strong and of good courage. David was also a man who was strong and of good courage. Just like David was with Joshua and David, God will be with us as we are called and love God, which we show through obedience to what God commands. Let's see what God told Joshua, beginning with Joshua 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto this great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand there for thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Absalom, in leading the fight against David, was riding his mule through the forest and got caught up in the boughs of a large oak tree, which pulled him off his mule and left him hanging in the tree. Word got back to Joab, who wanted to know why Absalom wasn't killed right away, and the man who saw Absalom reminded Joab that it was David's command to not harm Absalom. 2 Samuel 18, verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heavens and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab, and said, Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth thine hand against the king's son, for in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against my own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. Joab was well aware of what David had said and would have none of it. He went to the oak tree where Absalom was still hanging and threw three darts at Absalom as Joab's armor bearer approached Absalom and killed him. Joab sounded the trumpet that Absalom had on him, signifying the end of the battle. The fighting stopped, and Absalom was buried in a pit in the forest covered with stones. Verse 14. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dell, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance, and he called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Ahimaaz wanted to immediately tell David of the death of Absalom. And even though Joab wanted to wait a day to relay the news to David, Ahimaaz convinced Joab otherwise, even though Joab had already dispatched Cushai to share the news. When Ahimaaz came to the city alone, David expected to hear good news about the battle. Ahimaaz told David there was a tremendous fight, and he was unsure of the outcome. Verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, Let me run now and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, Go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, Run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates. And the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried, and told the king, and the king said, If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace, and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, Behold, another man running alone. And the king said, He also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, He is a good man, and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, All is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, When Joab sent the king's servant, and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, Turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. Cushai arrived later, and it was Cushai who told David that Absalom was dead. Even though Absalom sought the death of David, David mourned hearing that Absalom was dead. Verse 31. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, Tidings, my lord the king. For the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee, to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.